We are in the process of going through a little series here about the parable of the sower, and we're on the third installment of that, and it's called Secrets of the Kingdom. And what I found out in life is the fact that Jesus reveals himself when we diligently seek him, and when we really go after him. And have you ever heard the old saying, here today and gone tomorrow? And that's kind of like a shooting star, a falling star, or whatever. You know, they just go hard and then they burn out. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today, this kind of soil. And they start real good, but they end up poorly. And to me, true Christianity is not about feelings, but about faith. And it's that faith that endures, and that's what really gets us through to the other side, and how important it is that we walk that walk of faith. We're going to read our main text here, Matthew 13, 3 to 9. And Jesus was telling this parable to a bunch of people. And then, as we know, Jesus then pulled his disciples aside, and they asked him, why do you speak in parables? And he said, you know, because you have to have ears that hear. You have to, you know, be able to, and the people that were listening, not all of them was going to hear it. And that's just the way it is, and we're going to learn that a little bit about that today again. Okay, and in verse 3 it says, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and they ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, but because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're the teacher. Lord Jesus, you gave gifts to men. And Lord, right now I yield to that gift. Lord, I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that will pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you really look at this, you can't go by just an absolute on this, but to me, it's kind of interesting that 25% of the soil only produced a crop. That's the only ones that produced a crop. Now, I'm not saying that 25% is an actual way we need to look at life, but it seems to me that a lot of the seed that we sow fails to succeed at growing a good crop. And we know it's not the seed's fault, but I want to encourage us to say, do not be discouraged that more people reject our message than accept it. Remember, the problem's not the sower or the seed, but the soil. And we have to keep on sowing. You know, we're called just to sow and let God, you know, start to do his work on it. Amen? Okay. So last week we looked at the seed that was sown on the hardened path. Seed never really had a chance to sprout. The ground was so hard it couldn't penetrate it. But today we're going to look at a thin soil. And a good crop had a good top, but that had a rock bottom. And remember, it's he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the ground we set up on right now, if I'm not mistaken, is called hardpan. I think that's the type of soil that the church is setting on, meaning it has pretty good soil on top, but down below, maybe 12, 14 inches, I can't remember, the ground is really hard. So it's hard sometimes to penetrate, and that's just the way it is, because different soils produce different ways. You got to know how to work the soil, and we're going to go into that later in the series. But the passage we're going to look at today is Matthew 13, 20 to 21. It says, the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately it falls away. So we're going to look at rocky soil today, kind of talking about a superficial hearer, you know, and what they do is they receive the word with joy. They really want to do something. They really want to have the word of God work in their life. But yet, things come in. I call it kind of fair weather faith sometimes. We get that fair weather faith going on, and it could be lack of loyalty. It could be the cost of commitment. You know, all these things kind of factor in. To me, the Christian life is the greatest life, but the Christian life is a good life, but there's a price to pay, and that's discipleship. We looked at that a while back. And that's why some people fall away. And it's upsetting, you know, when somebody, when it looks like they get it, but then find out they don't. And for whatever reason, they fall back. Because salvation's free, but discipleship is costly. It'll cost your life. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to surrender our life to Christ. You know, it's one of the greatest things that we do. It really finds, to me, it brings purpose, brings fulfillment. A lot of great things happen, you know, when we choose to do that. But, you know, sometimes some people think it's too high a price. And that's kind of what this person kind of goes through. And to me, sometimes people can be considered a little bit selfish if they are willing to let go and let God. And that's what we need to have manifest in our life, is the fact that we learn how to let go of things. I don't know about you, do you have trouble with that? I know I do sometimes. To let go and really trust God. I was thinking about this story. This guy, he was out walking in the timber, and anyway, he was going along, and there's no moonlight, no sun, and his flashlight went dead, so he's just kind of going along. And all of a sudden, he fell off a cliff. Well, on the way down, he was able to grab a hold of a tree branch sticking out sideways, and he held on to that with dear life. And he started to scream, "Is there anybody up there?" Nobody answered for a minute. "Is there anybody up there?" And finally, God yells out, "I'm here." And he says, "If you trust me, let go of the branch." The guy said, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, he couldn't trust him. And then when morning came, he looked, he was only like 10 foot off the ground. But see, he didn't listen to the voice of God. Because sometimes we're afraid to let go of some things in our life. And that's when, you know, things start to unravel to some degree in our life. To me, I've done a lot of sowing in my day. This is the hardest soil for the sower to deal with. You know, you'd think that the pathway, which was solid like concrete, was hard, but there, you didn't really expect it to work, sort of. You know, you're just kind of taking a chance. But this one here, because you sow the seed in their life, and by all outward appearance, they're excited. They just want to get in, man. They're at church almost every week, and they're going to Bible studies, and you know, they're just Jesus this and Jesus that. So excited. But then all of a sudden, they just drop off the radar. They're not there no more. And it's just hard for a sower because, you know, you feel so excited that, you know, God's starting to use you. You know, that God is moving, and you're being an evangelist, you're doing what God's called you to do, and then you've tried to help this person, and in all apparent reasons, they started out real good, but then all of a sudden, just nothing. You know, it wasn't me. Did I do something wrong? You know, you get them feelings, and sometimes it'll make you not want to sow again. You know, how many has ever tried to plant something that didn't work? I mean, I remember years ago, I tried to plant a few tomato plants. I didn't really pick a very good spot, you know, in all hindsight. And what happened was I planted them, and they looked real good for a while until it got hot. I watered them, but it just didn't work. They just dried up like cracker juice. I mean, they were just dead. I mean, it didn't take long. Boom, they were gone. You know, here today, gone tomorrow. That's kind of what it was like. And it was kind of frustrating because, you know, sometimes you invest a little bit of money in planting. I mean, farmers do that every year. I mean, it takes a lot of faith to be a farmer. spend all these thousands of dollars on seed and different things and put it in the ground. You just hope it's going to rain and things like that, or don't get a hailstorm and all these different things. But, you know, when you invest your time and your treasure into something, you know, it can make it sound kind of frustrating sometimes. So I just want to encourage you not to be discouraged. Don't give up sowing. You know, God has called us to go out and to reach the reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, sometimes it don't work. I remember, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't know you wasn't supposed to go out and witness the people. I got hooked up with these radicals. And we would go out to East Colfax in Denver, Colorado, and we witnessed the people. And sometimes it was easy, sometimes it was harder. But, you know, we would lead people to the Lord and all excited. And then I'd say, hey, you know, I'll pick you up Sunday for church. Okay, where do you want to meet at? And they told me the corner, and they told me the time. And you'd go there on Sunday morning, and they wouldn't be there. You know, you just go, man, you know, what's up? I mean, I really thought this was real. You know, you just got to keep on trucking. And it really bothered me for a while. And I finally went and talked to my pastor, and he just encouraged me and told me that, you know, sometimes things like that happen. Sometimes it takes a little time for some people. Don't give up. Just keep sowing. Just keep going and reaching people. You know, because you never know where that seed's going to fall. I mean, who would have thought? Somebody came and put seed in my heart. It paid off. You know, I followed God and I'm doing something for God. I mean, how about if they didn't want to sow that day? How about they're discouraged and they quit? So we can't do that. We just can't allow those things, you know, to come into our heart, you know, to want to make us give up. And God has good things for us. Okay, I want to talk about what causes the problem. Affliction. It talked about the sun coming up. How many would love to have the sun, you know? Last couple days have been chilly here, hasn't it, in Iowa? All of a sudden it just kind of hit. Had the air conditioner on here last week. Today we got the heater. But, you know, to me, affliction reveals problems in our life. See, here's what you and I do. We blame the problem, don't we? You know, when something goes wrong, we blame the problem. But, you know, when we blame the problem for our problems, but the truth is the problem reveals the real problem that was in us all the time. These people had shallow soil. They were the kind of person that wasn't really wanting to commit to things. It wasn't really wanting to, like I said, let go and let God. And so when things came against them, it's easy for them to give up because that's just the lifestyle that they had. You know, the Bible says that those who are godly will be persecuted. Persecution will come to us, people. It happens, you know, in various forms. I mean, hope some of you have taken these prayer sheets. I got some here and some in the back. I mean, it's talking about praying for the persecuted church. You know, the one in the last couple days talked about a husband and wife and how I think they had to move because their house got burned down by the radicals. And then it talks about their son. He was smuggling Bibles from one country to another and he was killed. You know, that family's paid a high price, you know, for the gospel. I mean, it's cool. There's some people that really believe it, right? They're willing to go and risk things to go and get the gospel to those who need it. So I encourage you to take those and pray with that every day. It's to me, it's life-changing. It really has stirred me up on the inside in many, many different ways. And see, affliction and persecution comes because of the word. You know, a lot of times you've tried to witness to somebody, and sometimes they get angry. Sometimes they think it's silly or stupid. But see, we know that the world doesn't like us, but why doesn't the world like us? See, the world doesn't hate you. It hates the word in you. And you got to remember that. It's the word of God inside of you is what they hate. They hate what you stand for. They hate for the righteousness that you walk in. They hate the fact that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And that Jesus Christ's word has come alive in you and you started to transform and you've started to be a light in a dark world. Darkness hates the light. It hates it when we reveal the problem. You know, how many love to be corrected? Anybody? Not too many people thrive on correction, right? Hey, tell me what's wrong with me. Please, tell me, you know. Most people don't want that. But see, that's what happens when our light's shining, because it kind of reveals some things. You know, when we don't participate or get involved in some of the things that they're involved in, I mean, it's not that we're judging them, it's just the fact that that don't interest me anymore. You know, all the things that I used to do, some of that stuff just ain't worth it. It just doesn't bring joy. Matter of fact, a lot of times it brings grief. And so the world is going to consider you a threat. It happens. We just have to flow with it. Now, what we need to understand is the fact that, you know, the world hates the fact that Christ is being formed within you. And so as we flow with God and we allow the changed life to be our life, then it's going to bring that kind of separation. It's going to bring those things in our life. Now, what happens through all this is that affliction tests our depth of soil. Like I said before, we could take a little bit of dirt, you know, maybe a 5-gallon bucket, dump it here on the floor or out there in the foyer where it gets sunlight. We could plant a seed, water it, it would grow. But it wouldn't last because the root can't go down to get nutrients, right? It can do, the seed's going to work what it does. The sower did what he did. The seed did what it could, but because of the soil, it couldn't go any farther. It was limited. And so that's what sometimes affliction reveals in us. And we start to see things that's in our life that we need to deal with. You know, we're all going to be tested in one way or another. It just happens. You know, to me, the test of time reveals what's true and what's not. You know, sometimes instead of jumping into something so quick, just wait a little bit. Just wait. Just kind of see. You know, somebody says, well, I'm in love with this person. I think we ought to get married right now. You know, we've only known each other a week, but I love them. I just love them. You know, I wanna get married and I wanna, you know, do that. Well, just wait a while. Check it out. See what they're like. I mean, that's some of the best marriage advice I got when we was in Denver. One of the series my pastor taught about is if you're wanting to, you know, find a potential spouse, watch the person. See how they treat other people. They might treat you a certain way, but then watch how they treat other people. That's really who they are. Because once, believe me, once the honeymoon's off, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you're still on honeymoon. I don't know. But sometimes the honeymoon can run off, wear out and go away. And then what do you got? You just got what you got, right? Sometimes you get what you got. Now you got to deal with it. But if you waited, I think I'm, you know, maybe talking to somebody. I don't know. But you know, remember, the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay, right? It's response to the sun. And also the S-O-N. See, the sun can come down and melt snow, but that same sun will just pack and make the ground very hard. Just different responses. And see, our responses, see, because it's our response to affliction that is the key to our success. How do we respond to affliction? When you start going through hard times, how do we respond? Do we get angry? Do we lash out? Do we get mad and blame God? Well, God, I've been to church a couple times this month. I mean, there's no reason for these problems. Well, the world hates you because it hates the world in you. Take joy. I'd be more concerned if the devil didn't mess with me. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some people say, well, the devil never bothers me. Duh. You know, you really, is that a question or is that a statement? You know, I mean, are you asking me for my opinion here? I'd love to give you my opinion if you let me, but, you know, I don't want to force it on you. See, it's our response. See, problems will either draw us closer to God or we'll blame God and pull away. That's what happens in life. That's where the rubber meets the road. So, what happens then is sudden growth with lack of depth usually ends in failure. And I can think of faces right now just going through my mind of people that have the gospel's been sowed into their heart. They receive it with joy, but just fell off the radar. They're not consistent, you know, and it's just rough. It's heartbreaking, like I said, for the sower. Because there's only so much you can do without being accused of stalking them, you know what I'm saying, you know? They're calling the cops to get a restraining order on you, you know? And try to see, you know, hey, I thought we were, you know, I really thought we were close. I really thought we had a good thing going here, you know? But what we have to remember is that roots take time to grow in order to bring stability. You know, that's what we're going for, stability in life. Because the wind's going to blow. The sun's going to shine. All these things are going to happen. But if we let our roots run down deep and get to the place where it can draw nourishment, and that's where, you know, we need to see. The idea is the fact that also, and we're going to look at some ideas on how we can overcome that shallow soil. But until our roots grow down, I just want to say one of the best ideas you can do is to stay connected to other believers for stability. I think you can all probably think of somebody that God has put in your life that has probably helped you through some hard times. When things were unraveling, the wheels were coming off the cart, there was somebody there that God had in your life that could help you to stay stable and not fall away and not fall back. You know, that's why we need each other, people. That's why we need to build relationships, Christian relationships. That's what it's about, trying to get a part of a small group Bible study. You know, so you can build some relationships there, so you can, you know, be able to get prayer when you need it, and you can get somebody in your court there to be in your life if you have a problem going on. You know, it's important that we have that because, you know, sometimes, you know, it just takes a while to get some roots down. And even if you have a great root system, sometimes things just happen, don't they? Man, I didn't see that coming. Wow. That really knocked me down. Wasn't expecting that. But if you got people in your life, then that helps us through. Now, we're going to look at ways to overcome shallow soil. We're going to look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the depth of sinners, or in the path of sinners, excuse me, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he will prosper. So how do we overcome that shallow soil? Gave us some really good ideas here if we want to implement them. See, without being too mean, shallow soil usually means a shallow person in some ways. It's because we're usually more, I guess, worried about me than I am about anything else. You know what I mean? It's all about me. The old me-itis or I-itis, however you want to look at it. And what happens then is we kind of get so consumed with us, we kind of fail to see the big picture. Because sometimes when we see the big picture, it helps to understand really what's going on. Okay? So, shallow soil usually means that. And maybe you feel, I'm not saying you're shallow, this is a general question here. Maybe you feel that your soil is a little shallow today. Maybe you don't feel that your roots are going as deep as you'd like, you know? And I really feel that we don't have to stay that way. See, I believe the Word of God has the power. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock, right? So the Word of God can break down those strongholds, can break down those barriers in our life if we've went through some things, or maybe it was the environment that we've raised in. You know, sometimes environment does make a difference on how we turn out, doesn't it? if we've been exposed to certain things as a kid, you know, it causes us to be our default setting. You know what a default setting is? When you go back, when you may try to change things, but if we always go back to our default setting and how we respond to problems and how we do things, well, a lot of times it's we watched it growing up, you know? But we got to change that. And there's hope, because the Word of God can bring change. Amen. The Word of God can turn things around and help us to break through some of these barriers. Okay, so how do we do it? Number one, we ask God for help. That's pretty simple, right? God, I can see I got a problem here. God, I don't have the depth. It seems like I just can't stand on my own. It seems like stuff always comes in and upsets my faith, you know? So I ask God for help. So here's what he says to do, ways to be blessed. Everybody likes to be blessed, right? When I first got saved, that's all people said. How you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, they were lying, some of them. I know they were. I watched them, you know. I saw the bumper falling off their car as they're driving out and all that. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but that's not about things. But, you know, I really want to be blessed. I really want people to be blessed. Amen. I want people in my church to be blessed, you know. When you say you're blessed, man, you're blessed. You know, that's just what I want for you. So, first one, be careful who you hang with. Because what did it say there in the Bible? It says, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Okay, so that may be kind of hard. But I love my friends. Well, you know, you can love them. Sometimes you might have to love them from afar till you get fixed, till you can stand on your own. Because I just read this the other day, and I think I knew it, but I guess I didn't, but maybe I did. But it kind of said that we're the byproduct of the five closest relationships in our life, meaning that the five closest people in our life rub off on us in a way that's kind of makes us who we are. I don't know. A lot of people believe that. At least the guy selling the book did, probably. But anyway, the idea of the importance of who we hang around with. You know, don't listen to wicked counsel. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and this is going through my head. Never let anyone ruin your selfie. I don't know why. It meant something to me. I don't know. You know, everybody likes selfies, right? But don't let them hurt you. Don't let other people ruin your life. You know, you're your own man. You're your own woman. You know, you need to cut your own path and be bold enough to be able to stand and go. And one thing go your own way. And one thing I've found is if you're struggling in your marriage, don't go ask a man that cheats on his wife for marriage advice. You know what I'm saying? Hello. But that's what we do. We go to people who are not enlightened. They may think they're well informed, but you got to be enlightened by the Word of God, right? You know, and to be able to get some good counsel. But yet, if we run around with people, you know, I know growing up, I mean, you know, you run with people and before you know it, you're doing the same thing they are. You know, you might stay good for, I don't want to give my illustrations here right now, because I don't want you to think any worse than you already do. But, you know, I would hang with these guys, and after 3 or 4 months, I was doing the same thing they did. Same thing. Because I watched them, it just seemed like, you know, it'd been easy, you know, if God would just strike people dead when they sin, then we'd all know not to sin, right? No, that's I'm kidding. But see, you watch people, and because the Bible says wages sin is death, but it's talking about spiritual death, we know that. But, you know, you watch people, and it seems like they're okay, and they're leading this lifestyle that, you know, is kind of dicey or dangerous. You know, so, hey, why not? I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him. So then I got involved in that, and then I found out, you know, the power of influence. You know, the power of influence in our life. See, if we can be influenced by others, how many believe that? So can we influence others then? Think about it. We know that other people can influence us, but why can't we influence them back? Why can't we influence them for the things of God? Amen. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to stop hiding and, you know, get that seed machine out, just sowing, you know. Just let it go. So don't let anybody ruin your selfie. Now, as you, how do you do that? Well, sometimes you pull away. You know, I remember what I had to do. I couldn't run with my friends again. I could go talk to them, but I couldn't go out in the evenings with them, shall we say, is what I couldn't do anymore. Not for a while, not until I got free. And so I, you know, only thing I can do is evangelize them, but I could never put myself in a position to participate in their practices because that would drag you down. So got to be careful about that. Then it talks about, you know, scoffers. A scoffer, I looked it up, it talks about big talkers who are always boasting or mocking others. You know, somebody that's always boasting and bragging about themselves, don't hang around that. That could rub off on you. But also it talks about, you know, mocking other people. That's not good, is it? You know, be around somebody that's always cutting other people down. You know, maybe you've had struggled with that in your life. You know, I know I used to, you know, I was just kidding. So I thought. But I was hurting people. You know, I was just joking around, you know. But it was a real critical. I mean, there's a vein of truth in what I said, or I wouldn't have said it. But, you know, I was hurting people. I was putting them down. I wasn't picking them up. And so that's not good. So I had to watch my mouth a little better so I wouldn't pick people down. Next, after that, not hanging with people that can drag us down, it's pretty simplistic. Love the word and go deep. Love the word and go deep. Now I want you to write this down. Never settle for secondhand revelation knowledge. Never settle for secondhand revelation knowledge. Because revelation knowledge is something that can only be given to you by God. You can't live somebody else's testimony, you know. And so, like the old saying, you know, God only has children, God has no grandchildren, right? You've heard that? No? Meaning, just because mom's saved doesn't mean the son is saved. You know, I've witnessed to a lot of people, and I'll tell you what, the one they pull out all the time, my grandma was a religious person. You know, somehow that got him, gets him into the kingdom of God. I said, well, God bless her. I mean, that's good. I bet she's praying for you. You know, but what about you? What about you? See, you can't get saved because your grandma is saved. You can't get saved because your mom is saved or dad is saved. You can only get saved because you want to be saved. You want to surrender your life to Christ. And so, and when it comes to revelation knowledge, that's something that's given to us by God. You know, I can preach this stuff to you, and hopefully you accept it, because I'm pretty sure I'm 99.9 right. You know, I don't know, nobody's perfect, right? But, you know, then you have to take it, and you have to get it for yourself. Amen. It's got to be yours. You have to own it. And if it's not for you, don't own it. Don't say what I said and if you don't really believe it, you know what I mean? If you don't think that's for you, you know? Maybe, you know, the cost of discipleship, you may disagree with that. You know, this is the price I paid. But it's worked for me. So what we have to do to get that firsthand revelation knowledge is to, number one, be intentional in your study of God's Word. That means you got to spend some time in the Bible. And whatever that takes, whatever that looks like for you. Hopefully it looks like you sitting down reading the Bible. You know what I mean? Maybe getting some study aids. Learn how to study. And if you have some questions about that, you know, come see me. I can give you some information on how you can study the Bible better. Number two, which really works, is to meditate on the Word of God. When you meditate, that's when revelation knowledge takes place. It's not just memorization, and if you memorize scriptures, that's cool. I never really have, unless somebody made me do it. It wasn't my role. I like to meditate on the Word of God, meaning I like to get a scripture, and then I read it over, and I think about it, and I ponder it. You know, like we said before several months ago, it's like an old cow chewing the cud. Most of you have been around cows before, and they'll go out and eat grass, and then after they're done eating, they'll lay down, and then they'll, for lack of a better term, they'll burp it up. They have several bellies, so it's confusing. It's just different. But they burp it up, and then they get it in their mouth. I know that don't sound. How many's ever burped up something? Oh, that's terrible. That last thing you want to do is chew on it, right? No. But anyway, they do that. They burp it up, and then they just chew in their old jaws. Oh, just chewing that thing over and over and over, getting every little nutrient out of it. Well, that's what we do when we meditate on the Word of God, is that we get that Word down inside our heart, and we start to think about it. Then all of a sudden, God will give us a little something. You know what I mean? He'll just give us something. It'll start to be real. Maybe God will take us in a little different direction or about that scripture, and you'll start to understand it, and it'll be ours, and we'll own it. Isn't ownership better than renting? Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You know, see, when we go off of somebody else's information, secondhand revelation, you're just renting that thing. It's not yours. But when we own it for ourselves, yes, Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody, not the devil, nobody can talk you out of that when you own it, because it's yours. And so we meditate on it. That learns, and then also, I think we can learn how to think deeper. I think focused thinking is something we lost. Due to the video age and the internet and boom, everything's changing so fast and all the different things, kind of crazy. The other day, Ethan came down and he had one of those virtual reality sets. And, put that thing on. I don't know if you've ever done that before. There was some sort of game that it was like in a jungle. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it got to the point where I was having to climb a cliff. And so you'd click a button and put your hand there and you'd grab a hold of the cliff. I did that for, I don't know how long I did it, 20 minutes. I was wringing wet. It was like I was really climbing a cliff, and all I was doing was moving my, and it's just freaky with your mind and all the different things. This, I don't know if I, probably wouldn't be something I'd like to do every day, but it was interesting, just the technology. But, the focus of what we need to do is learn how to focus and dig deeper. But we have so many things distracting us. I still don't understand the one. I know kids will fight me on this. They say they can study with the TV or the radio on. And they say they can focus. I can't very good. I like to have it just a certain way. But if we learn how to think deeper, control our mind, we can control our thoughts. Okay. Now, we can ponder our way into revelation knowledge, and God will reveal the deeper things. Let's look at Matthew 16, 15 to 17. I think I put that up on the screen. Here's Jesus talking, and he's talking to his disciples. I want to say he's in Caesarea Philippi. The only reason I know that, it came across the Logos questions today on the Bible app or Bible thing. But it says, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I mean, Peter got a great revelation. He was asking, because a lot of the people back then when Jesus was preaching the gospel, a lot of them thought, hey, he's a great teacher. Let's go watch Jesus. He's a great teacher. So they all flock and watch him teach. And some say, well, he's a prophet. He's a miracle worker. Let's go watch Jesus. Let's just see what he's got. And that's the way a lot of people are. They go from place to place and see what you got. But here, Peter, kind of all people, he's Peter's the kind of guy who's all over the radar, right? He's just all over the charts in his thinking. He's definitely a sanguine or something, you know, just everywhere. Excited, easy, have fun. He said, you're the Christ. I mean, that revelation was a blockbuster revelation. Because by him saying that, he acknowledged that he was the Son of God and that he was the Messiah who was going to come to deliver the people. And he received that revelation and took that revelation for himself. And Jesus just called him out and praised him in front of everybody. How many love that? Jesus calls your name and says, man, good job. You got that revelation. You know, praise God for that. But see, revelation knowledge has to come from God. And see, God, you know, reveals himself to diligent seekers and how important it is that we really seek after God. We have a choice. It's always a choice of whether we want to seek after God or not. Sometimes your flesh don't like it. Sometimes your flesh doesn't want to, you know, but you need to make it do it anyway. Lastly is get firmly planted by the water, you know. It shouldn't seem that hard to understand, but how many, it's important for a plant to have water. They need it. Need it to thrive. That means if you're going to be planted by the water, to me, because a plant can't really pick itself up and go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, once you plant it, that's it. You got to pick a good spot. Because if not, you're dead. Dry up. So to me, that's talking about stay close to the source. That's where the water's at, the source. Stay close to where the source is. To be connected to that. You know, also let other believers help you grow and nurture you. We all need that. Get people involved in your life. Allow them to speak into your life. You know, allow them to start to help you. Because we all need that. We all need that support. Next, don't go by your feelings, because feelings wear off. Or change. They change all the time. Don't go by your feelings. Just stay with the planted. Stay with that water. You know, to me, I always say the Christian life's a great life. Two great lives. The Christian life and the married life. You know, I'm happy. I'll be honest, I'm blessed. Amen. I love it. I mean, I couldn't have planned this out any better. I mean, I had some plans. But I couldn't have planned this life out any better, you know, that God has led me into. But there are days, right? See, some days the Christian walk feels like we have a career, while other days it just feels like a job. All I can say is just keep walking. Just keep walking. Amen. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just keep on trucking. Put down good roots so it won't wither up. You know, also give it time and stay committed and stay the course. You know, it doesn't happen instantaneously. You know, it happens when you compare yourself to other people, maybe in the room here today. You wonder why they're more spiritual than you are. They're probably not. I'm just saying. Usually it's something we invent in our mind sometimes. You know, just stay your course. Don't give up. Be committed, grow fruit, and don't be so focused on your leaves, but focus on bearing fruit. And that's just all it's about, to glorify God. Now, lastly, remember, we do not have a seed problem. We just have a soil problem. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.